sports.
Continues to make recovery, so we're slowly getting there. God is good, never fails. We never doubt him. We've seen it so many times before, but she sends her love and she's getting her focus back and concentration back and her memory back. And she's starting to see that we put things in places that shouldn't be around the house. And so she's going, hey, who's moved these? And so we're getting there. And Bradley and myself, there's only so much of this cooking we can cope with, but we're doing okay. She did a real good job. But we give God glory, as we've said. We continue to, and once again we extend a welcome to all our visitors and those who are with us, moved in the area. Thank you for being here today. Brethren, what a blessing. What a year so far. I can't believe how long we've been in this building now. It's been a while. Incredible to think that, this time last year we were in a community centre struggling for space, and we're filling this place up. So before long we'll probably have to have two meetings in here, or we'll have to find another building somewhere else and we'll plant another congregation. But one thing's for certain, God has got everything in hand, he's got everything in control. We're here to serve him. We give him glory. He never fails in any way, shape or form. So my lesson today, I've got no notes. I came with various ideas of what I wanted to talk about this morning, and they kept changing, and I saw Daniel earlier, they changed again, and so on. But you know, one of the things I believe strongly, and I've always felt strong about this, is that whenever a lesson is presented, you need to be able to take something with you. There has to be something in there that you can use, that we can all use. And that's absolutely important. That was one of the best bits of advice I ever got from one of my teachers many years ago, was you make sure that you provide the congregation with something that they can take with them, something that you can use, because you know we're on this journey together. It's not easy. I am so excited every time I come here. What a privilege to stand at the front and to be able to be blessed in this way. But I always say that one of the greatest sermons for me is the congregation. You know, you preach sermons every day of your lives. And that's what it's all about. It's about using our lives to give honour and glory to God. Sometimes we come here on the Lord's Day and people stand and ask for prayers, and you hear all kinds of things of people confessing sins and people just giving thanks to God. And we're looking forward to Janet returning so that we can stand in the front and give praise to God on that day for sure, if God wills that time. But listen, brethren, we are blessed beyond measure. What a gift, the building. You know, how many people would start with no money, and we find a building. And when we came here, I can remember the brother standing here saying, "Well, have this." And I'm thinking, "Well, hang on a minute, we've got to find £315,000, and that's not, doesn't even cover the costs. You know, we've got another £25,000 on top of that." And no, we're going to have it. We're going to have this building. And I know Brother Gary and myself were looking at mortgages and seeing how we could get loans, and no, that wasn't to be. We just buy it outright. So we start with nothing. but an amazing God. And we buy a building outright, and here we are. What a blessing. It's a gift and a tool that we can use to give honour and glory to Him. And it's my prayer that we can do that. You know, we've been in here a while now, and I think as a church we've got to start thinking about how we can use it to glorify God. We need to do more as a church. You know, we need to be involved more as much as we can. And I want to talk today about how each and every one of you is critical to this ministry, every single one. There's no one person that can do anything. You know, people will often say, oh, did you start a ministry in Leicester? No. No, but I was with a group of Christians, and together we all got together and we allowed our God through us to do what He's doing, and He continues to do. And so this is God's work, and we are all a part of it equally together as a body, unified and encouraged. And I love this passage, you know. I think I told you a while ago, I remember when I was at the school and one of the teachers, he came and he said, I've got a memory verse for you, and he gave us a whole chapter. I thought he was joking. He was very serious. But one of my favourite studies that I studied at the school was the Colossians. And I loved the epistle, and I loved everything about it, you know, because of the problems that they had at that time were very similar to quite often the problems that we can get in our own lives, you know, and even in this modern day. And so it was lovely to hear this epistle that is applicable. It's a letter that was written that is beneficial to each and every one of us. But listen to this. The Apostle Paul, so he writes to the church in Colossae. There's these Christians, just like us, with all kinds of problems going on. That there are a lot of heresies going on. There were other churches in the area. There was a lot of heresies, a lot of conflicts, a lot of problems, a lot of misunderstandings. And the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter and he says, continue earnestly in prayer. Well, that's always the best place to start, isn't it? Prayer. Where do we always go? Prayer. You know, when Janet was ill, we just wanted prayer. And it was coming from everywhere, all around the globe. You know, prayer is amazing. Keeps you strong. God hears our prayers. And so he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, what the Apostle Paul is doing is he's saying, listen, pray for the ministry, pray for the word. Pray for what we are doing. And he talks about a mystery. This isn't a mystery as in something strange. This isn't the actual Greek translation uses a word called mysterion. And what it does is it talks about something that is hidden. And so what the Apostle Paul says is there's this message and people cannot see it because it's hidden. It's a mystery in respect of the fact that it hasn't been revealed to them yet. And that's what he talks about when he uses this word. And so he says there, as we speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. In other words, I am bound by this. I am sealed to this. I am enslaved in respect of my wanting to serve my God and get this message of salvation out to the people. And so here he says this amazing message, and then he says this. He says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Some versions may say, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. I quite prefer that phrase, actually. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. The New King James Version says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Redeeming the time, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each and every one. And I think of this, brethren, I think of our opportunities that we have. We live in a community full of opportunity. You know, in the day there are so many people coming by this building. So many people. You know, when we have a coffee morning and we stand on the front and we see people walking by and talking to them and trying to encourage them to come in. So many people. That is looking for the opportunities, making most of opportunities. And of course, what we really want to do is share the message. We want to tell people about the gospel. We want to share with people the builders who were building the wall. We got to share the gospel while he built our wall. And so we're having a Bible study with him right now. And so that is an opportunity. That is making the most of your opportunities, making most of the situations that we find ourselves in. And that is what we need to do as Christians, in order that we can make a difference, that we can make an impact on the world around us. It's absolutely critical. Now, one of the things that we need to be aware of is that we have responsibilities as Christians to each other. We have responsibilities to the ministry. We have a responsibility to the work here. And so what we have to do is we have to consider how we are going to use those times to glorify God, to make an impact and make a difference on the world that we are living in. I always think of the Samaritan woman. Here's this Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in Sychar in Samaria. And there is Jesus and his disciples heading towards Samaria. Now, the journey that they are on, any Jew would go a different way. They would not go the way that Jesus went. They would go a different way. They are avoiding contact with the Samaritans. They're trying to divert away from those areas. It's like a bit like, imagine an area in this city that's so dangerous and so rough, and you just don't fit in there, and you wouldn't go down there, would you? You wouldn't just take yourself down there. So Jesus and his disciples, they go straight to Sychar in Samaria, and they go to Jacob's well, and the disciples go to get the food, and Jesus remains and he speaks with the Samaritan woman, and he tells her all about her life, making the most of every opportunity. He tells her all of her life. And then when he shares all her life, and then he tells her everything he knows about her, and he says, you know, I know all about you. I know your life. I know how many husbands you've had, and I know that you're living with a man that isn't your husband right now, and I know about everything about your life. And she looks and says, this must be the Messiah. It has to be the Messiah. This man knows all about me. Who could possibly know all about me? Especially a stranger who walks into to this area. Not only that, he's not even, like me. He's from a different group. And he comes in here and he stops and talks to me and he knows about my life. And everything opens up in her mind and she says, well, my goodness me, this has to be the Messiah. This has to be the Saviour. This has to be the one that the world is talking about. And so she runs off into the town and tells everybody in the town. And so because of that, Jesus and the disciples got to stay in the area. The one area that any other Jew would have avoided, they got to stay there for many days, teaching the word of God, telling people about their lives, and that they went through some ridicule and they went through a little bit of trouble, whatever, but they stayed and they ministered to the people. And that was because of the willingness to go to a place that they shouldn't have been in the eyes of a Jew. But they went. And they made the most of the opportunity that they was given. Remember the blind man. Jesus goes to the blind man who was blind. He spits on the ground and he makes a clay. And many people say that's pretty disgusting. Actually, in the old law, in the old days, if a teacher spat on you, it was classed as a blessing, believe it or not. Very odd, but it was classed as a blessing. It was kind of a blessing to be spat upon by a teacher. But Jesus spits on the ground, he makes a clay, he rubs it in his eyes, he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man goes and he washes his eyes, and what does he do? He comes back seeing. And through that, the people are saying, this is the man who used to be blind. And through that, the ministry continues, and so on. Every example that we have, every example, excuse me, that we see, is all about opportunity. What opportunities do we have, brethren, here? Yeah, how do we use our building that we have? Is it closed all week? You know, what about our coffee mornings? You know, has it been running the last few weeks? It hasn't. The doors have been closed. So we haven't had a coffee morning for a few weeks. We've advertised, but we haven't had one. you know, what are we doing individually with the gift that God has given this building? How are we going to use it to give God glory and honor? This isn't a criticism. This isn't trying to undermine. But what this is trying to do is just open our eyes up to the fact that we can do amazing things with this facility that God has blessed us with. We can use it in so many ways. And so we can do that. I know I get excited. Let me tell you about our youth world. I get so excited. Do you know this building is packed on Saturday night with young people? It's packed. They can't even sit in the top. They have to sit in here. And they come from another local congregation as well. And so our youth leaders, Brother Daniel and Bethany, and those, they come together and they're all in here and they're studying the Word of God and they're studying the teaching. They're studying, they're doing Matthew at the moment, studying the Gospel. And they're learning and they're fellowshipping and they're spending time together, and these kids are growing. I know tonight they're all heading off to Loughborough, I believe, to a gospel night there. So the point is this is the thing. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. What opportunities do we have and how can we utilise them? 2 hours on a Sunday morning is insufficient. It's not enough. Just opening these doors 2 hours and shutting the doors again. We don't need the building if that's all we're going to do. We don't need it. We'll get rid of it, sell it. But what we've got to do is, as a congregation, we've got to say, how can we use this? How can we glorify God? God has blessed us with it. It's exciting. And so we as a church need to pull together. This is to me as well. This is us as a congregation. See how we can utilize this gift from God to give him glory. We want to save souls. And I believe that we can do it. I believe it. I have no doubts in the gifts of this congregation. We are blessed with some of the finest people. We've got great teachers and great leaders and great people who are doing such a wonderful work. It's exciting. But let me encourage you to be a part of it. You know, a few weeks ago, they had a sisters' night. And I think three sisters came. Three. On a sisters' night, three sisters sat in this room on their own. And so the point is this, brethren, this is just a learning curve for us all. It's not a criticism, but I'm just saying, let us see how we can come together and make a difference. Be excited. I want you to be fired up. I am ready. I am ready for us as a congregation to take this city on. And with you all, standing at your side together, all of us, make an impact on this city. Make a difference. Let this city know we mean business. We're here serving a mighty God. We have a powerful message. I always think about, I remember when we used to go and do the homeless in the streets, and we'd go out and we'd hand food out and drinks out at night, and we'd take flasks of hot drinks and just sit with them talking. And I always thought, you know, it always felt good to give them some warm drinks and some food. But then I thought, how much warmer does it make you feel when you can give them the Word of God? And you know, when you can share with people the Word of God, this congregation, I believe, has got so much that we can do. I have no doubts in my mind at all. We can do it because God gave us the building. He brought us this far. And so now how can we use it to make him receive all the honour and glory that he so deserves? And so I believe together we can do that. You know, often I refer to a psalm in Psalm 78. And you'll know, I use it a lot. And often I find passages and I just can't get I can't get out of them. But just a couple of things in here that are so important. And I have preached on this, and I think not so long back I referred to it as well. But it has to be something that we need to constantly be thinking about. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. That's Psalm 78. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established the testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Here's the point. Here's the point. We have a message of salvation, and it's amazing. It's like somebody has just given us a pile of money and we can go around and distribute it to those who need it. You know how that would feel? We have something greater than that, the Word of God. We have a message to share, and we don't even have to need to worry on our own ability, because God will take care of it. We have a message to share. And so if all of us are going out sharing this message of salvation, telling them of what we have received, this salvation, this message of eternal life, being able to share to the world what an amazing God we have, so that the world might see it. And he says, give ear, O my people, to my ways, my laws. And these are things that we know and can share as well, that we can share the message of salvation to those who are in the world, those who are needing this message. We need to look at every soul in this world in the same way that we would look upon a person who is starving physically. The world is starving spiritually from the Word of God. And we have an opportunity as a congregation to come together and make a difference. This is the thing. We all have to be involved. And we need to get the fire. I want to encourage you, because I believe that we can make big things happen in this city. You know, we got to be looking at growing. We got to be looking at planting congregations. We got to be looking. This is 500,000 people. We can't get this city in this building. But we need to be looking at developing and maturing and growing and studying and developing leaders and teachers and preachers and getting eldership in place and getting everything in structure so that we can go around and plant more congregations around the city. And it may be that a family in one area will go and start a ministry in that area, and the church will go along and support that and encourage it. But what I'm saying is this: we cannot be content. When we have a building, we've not made it, we've not succeeded. The building does not define who we are. We are defined by the teaching and by the word. The building is a tool that we use. And it's a gift. And it's a blessing. And we give God all the honor and all the glory because of it. I think I referred before about the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows. The children of Ephraim were a group of people who were given everything that they needed, all the tools for battle. But as soon as it was time for battle, they took everything off and went home. And sometimes we can do that in our Christian lives. And I want to encourage you, stay armed. You know, God has equipped us. Let's get ready. Let's get ready. We've got people in universities. We've got people in workplaces, in colleges, in all walks of life, in all areas. We cannot put down the things that God has blessed us with. He says that marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. Of course, the Israelite people had been blessed with things that God had done for them on their journey. All through this journey that they were on, God continued to bless them. Marvelous things he had done. And they were keeping it to themselves. And he says, no, go tell the people, tell the generations what God has done. What God has done for you. What has God done for you? Eternal life, salvation, forgiveness of sins, redemption, a promise of an eternal place in heaven. And so we have that gift. And so how does it come? And we can all tell our story, you know, how it comes through the whole of the scheme of God's plan, all the way back in Genesis, all the way through to the end of the Bible. We see the love of God, and this message is a message of salvation that we have. And so my lesson today is short, but it's this. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And let your conversations be full of grace. You know where that is? Seasoned with salt. You see it? Full of grace and seasoned with salt. That is the only seasoning we have. And he said, full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer everyone. I pray that God will bless you. We're going to have the invitation song. Let's rise as well.